Welcome to News from the Breach, a Dragon Prince podcast. We're your hosts,
Johanna
and Kaylee. Hello. Today we're talking about chapters 7 and 8 of Book 5 Ocean, Sea Legs and Finnegan's Wake.
Mm-hmm.
And we're very exciting. Exciting, of course. We're excited today because it's been a while since we recorded due to a long string of winter illnesses and such things. So yeah, happy to be back. And yeah, like usual, I will read short synopses and then we'll get into it. So, Chapter 7, Sea Legs. The Ruthless sails into dangerous waters with Finnegan in hot pursuit. Queen Janai and her guards face a deadly infiltrator seeking the Sun Seed. And Chapter 8, Finnegan's Wake. Held captive aboard the Sea Legs, Callum and his crew must dig deep to win their freedom. Janai faces her brother once again.
Du-du-dum.
Super short.
Yeah. Nice.
Short and sweet.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, let's start with the pirates in Chapter 7, Sea Legs. First, we have some new baitlings, and we don't know the names yet. And I think Bait is a little bit jealous about them.
About the babies.
Yep.
Yeah, he calls them a rude name, but we don't know what it was.
We don't speak Baitish.
Unfortunately. Yeah, and we find out that Nyx won the Ruthless
mm-hmm.
through a game of danger dice. But there's a bit of a disagreement about the rules or what happened there. Apparently the dice landed on a crack. But Nyx says that a double four is spider eyes and that she won fair and square.
And I think fair and square in a game called danger dice... is a lie, I would guess.
Not quite fair.
Yeah.
Mm, yeah.
And I was wondering what danger dice would be. I googled. I didn't find so much stuff. It was mostly some dice with some words on it, like you have to do blah, blah, blah.
Ah, okay.
Or a drinking game.
Like a dare dice.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But we don't know for sure what kind of game this is.
Special rules.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Could also be Jumanji.
Maybe. yeah, well, we know it's a betting game, at least, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, Villis doesn't own the Ruthless anymore, but it is to be debated. And Villis asks them about the elf that's imprisoned. That they want to let out of that they don't want to let out of prison. Sorry, let's go spring Erebus out of his prison. Nope. So Rayla explains that Erebus is responsible for more pain, death, and suffering than anyone else in history. And then we get Sorin doing squats and saying good morning to the Baitlings. Good morning, good morrow, and top of the sun to you. To each individual baitling, which is very cute.
Yeah. First we have Sneasels, because it looks into the sunlight, and then also we see that Sauron is also having the achoo syndrome.
Is it a thing?
Yeah, it's a thing. And I also have it, and I never knew what it was.
Hmm.
And now I know. Thanks, Dragon Prince.
Thank you, Dragon Prince. Okay.
It's a really cute name, Sneasels. And also the introduction was a little bit Pokemon style or anime style, like
with the background.
Yeah, exactly.
And
we have the Pokemon in the front.
Yeah,
the battling, and then we have some nice background in colors and yeah.
Yeah, yeah, especially the first one, like it's with like lightning flashes
lightning
and stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Okay, so Sneasels gets named, and then we're back to Nyx being skeptical that the group can stop this deadly elf and refers to Callum as a baby mage and says that she knows what human magic is like, and she's seen magicians perform somewhere or something, and compares Callum to that. Callum has to show off, obviously, so he does a big aspero and blows the blue baitling into the water, which is named by now Hat, because it was hanging out on Soren's head.
That's also later.
We don't have a name yet. Okay, yeah. the blue baitling.
I just wrote baitling overboard.
Okay. Baitling overboard! Ends up in the water.
Yeah.
And Glowtoad's delicious. Mm-hmm. Uh-oh. And they think it's sharks, but it's actually a big sea leviathan, and it's starting a whirlpool around the baitling, which Villis tells them because he recognizes the sound of the whirlpool that leviathans make. Very knowledge, that Villis.
Yeah, totally.
Knowledgeable. Yeah. Oh, God. Very, I can't speak today. Sorry, people. He's very knowledge. He is.
Yeah. And this is also a very cute scene at the end, because the other baitlings on Esrin's hands or shoulders or whatever hold their tiny hands against their eyes.
Oh.
To protect themselves from whatever they're seeing. And one is also, I think the third one, later called Jellybug, is making a sound like a meep.
Oh.
Yeah, it's really cute.
Cuties. Yeah. And so they want to save the baitling, and first Nyx is talking about doing some fancy Nyx tricks, and then Callum is like gonna do his Manus Pluma Volantis thing, but Soren just does a Soren ball into the water to save the little baitling. Zim helps, I have in quote marks, get the baitling out of the water, because actually Zim kind of just gets stuck in the water. Soren throws Zim and the baitling into the air, and they manage to escape. And then Soren accepts that he's going to die and tells them to say hi to Claudia if they see her, and starts sinking into the water.
And 1 second later, there's a rope hanging from the ship, and he just has to grab it.
But then he's also a little bit
disappointed.
Yeah, he's disappointed.
Yeah. Why doesn't the giant sea monster wants to eat Soren's toned meat?
Yeah. Is he not delicious enough for the Leviathan? Apparently not. But Ez is nice enough to say, if I was a giant sea monster, I would eat you.
That's very nice of Soren.
And the baitling is extremely chatty and grateful.
Speaking about Sim helping, in quotes, this reminded me of a scene from Futurama. I don't know if you know the episode. Yeah, I don't know what it's called, but it's about a magic whirlpool. If you go in, you get younger.
Ah, okay.
And it's one of my favorite Futurama episodes, because there's also a dragon at the end helping Professor Farnsworth to get out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. No, I don't remember the episode, but yeah.
It's awesome.
Nice. Yeah. All right, the Leviathan's gone, but then they see the big ship following them, which is called Sea Legs. And Nyx is judging them for stealing from Finnegan. And Villis tells them that Finnegan flips a coin, and heads is the icy depths and tails is worse, whatever that means. They decide to hide in the fog, and they hold on to their hats. And that's when he gets his name.
Yeah.
There.
Also with a very cute Pokemon thing.
Yeah, with lots of hats. Lots of
hats. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they get away a little bit faster with the help of a Sky Mage with Ventus Validus. It's Latin for mighty wind.
Mm-hmm. All right, and then they're in the fog, Ez needs a snack and is looking for his jelly tarts. And he finds one, but with no jelly. And then Jellybug gets their name.
Because
they're like jelly.
With lots of jelly tarts.
Yeah. So Jellybug is the orange one.
Mm-hmm.
Hat is the blue one.
Mm-hmm.
And Sneasel is green, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, greenish. It's a little bit dots of other colors in them,
mm-hmm.
in everyone. Maybe a little bit darker shade or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And one thing was also funny in this scene, because Willett suggested it could be bugs mm-hmm. who have eaten the jelly tarts or the jelly, but Astrid would hear them. Because they love to gossip, which is also super fun.
Yeah.
I would love to hear bugs gossip about whatever they gossip
about. I wonder what they gossip about.
Yeah, exactly.
Did they gossip about, like, each other or things they've seen?
Yeah.
Hilarious.
Imagine caterpillars talking about, you know, another caterpillar eating too much.
Yeah. Or... that they saw this bird the other day, and I don't know why.
And look at this bird.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's really cool. I'd like to, listen to what Ez can hear for like a day.
Yeah.
I think it'd get annoying after a while. Always totally. hearing animal talk.
Yeah, how doesn't he get distracted?
Yeah, good question. I don't know. Yeah, maybe he chooses, it's only when he chooses to listen or something. But yeah, but if he even hears like little bugs gossiping, I don't know.
But it's also good to have around.
Yeah.
So for example, if you have termites in your wardrobe or something.
You just know.
Yeah, you just know.
Yeah, or you could talk to the moths that live in your flat and be like, hey guys, look, I know you really like it. But you gotta go. I like my woolly stuff.
Exactly. That would be awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And hear what's going on with them too, you know?
Yeah. Nice.
All right. So we've got Jellybug and the sea legs is catching up. And the flag looks like the tails on the coin I wrote down.
Mm-hmm. Giant hermit crab.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Callum decides to take the wind out of their sails because they somehow caught them up. And it's a really cool spell. Like, I really like the animation as well. And they take their sails down. But then it just starts moving towards them again, which seems really impossible. And mm-hmm. they don't know what's going on.
It's also a huge thing for Callum. The spell, because then he is out of breath
mm-hmm.
and can't do any magic anymore.
Yeah.
So, must be a huge spell. Also, he took in a lot of air.
Yeah, it was crazy. Yeah. Like, really, and Rayla was obviously, like, really...
impressed.
Shocked and impressed, I think, as well, that Callum could do something so powerful. Yeah. Yeah, so then they end up in Garlath's teeth. We know Garlath from the constellation as well.
Because I wrote down Garlath Thief. Where did I heard it? I had it somewhere.
Mm-hmm. But
thank you for clearing it up. Nice.
Yeah, and yeah, Garlath, the constellation was this big guy with a bandolier of skulls.
Exactly.
So now we've got Garlath's teeth. And this scene is very much like the ice dodging episode from the Avatar: The Last Airbender. Sorin has to dodge. Sokka has to dodge through rocks like it should be icebergs, but for his coming of age ritual, then he has to dodge through these rocks and stuff.
Yeah.
And they're working together, and it's kind of similar because of the way it looks and what they're doing. But also, Vilas is telling Callum and Rayla to do things and help him and stuff while they're going through. I found that kind of cool.
Yeah.
And, interesting that I just thought of, because Vilas is blind, and in the ritual itself, the uncle, Bato, blindfolds himself.
Mm.
And is sitting on the boat blindfolded. So, I don't know. Interesting, anyway.
Wait, the dad is called Bato?
Yeah.
And the bird is called Bato?
True. That's very similar.
Come on. That's not a coincidence anymore.
There we go. It's all connected.
Of course.
Yeah. There's always Avatar stuff in here.
Interesting. Yeah, also, we have the vote. So Nyx is for no, and Rayla and Willards are for yes. So obviously, they're going through.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's also working out fine with the help of Bato. They get around all the teeth and over a ship,
mm-hmm.
which is blocking the exit.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a problem because Celex is still following them.
Mm-hmm.
And then stopping. And then getting legs.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck?
Super
because creepy. It's a giant hermit crab.
Yeah.
By the way, giant hermit crabs, maybe not, but small hermit crabs are really cute.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, and this one, once you know it and you look at the ship, you really see that it's got its claws like folded in at the front and stuff like that. But the first time I saw this episode, I also didn't notice at all, you know? I wouldn't have suspected.
Ah, I did.
Did you?
Yeah. Because it was also, see, legs, come on.
Yeah.
It has to have legs.
It makes sense.
And then you see the structures mm-hmm. of the legs and the claws.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah, you totally see it then. Yeah. Yeah. I think it was just painted like that or something, you know? Like,
yeah.
Or whatever.
But I was also thinking about, when the ship had no wind, how did it move?
Yeah, it had to have some sort of
exactly
animal
yeah.
moving it. I mean, there was that other ship as well, two episodes ago or something, that was like a squid pulling it or something.
Mm. True, yeah. Yeah, or some people in the ship rowing
it.
But a ship this big,
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. No, it all makes sense in the end anyway, that it's the hermit crab. And it's really emotional moment when it comes up, and because everyone's frozen looking at the ship, and actually the only person talking to Vilas, who's kind of flailing around saying, "Hey, Beto, I don't know where I'm going," you know? And Ez is the only person talking and telling Vilas what's going on, you know?
Yeah.
Meanwhile, they crash into one of the teeth.
Because Beto is shocked, frozen.
Is frozen, yeah. Like, can't look away from the hermit crab ship. And, yeah, it's a really dramatic moment when Vilas then turns around, takes his hat off, and, like, is like, okay, I'm going down with my ship, you know?
Yeah.
Like, very dramatic.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Beto finally says, "Abandon ship." It's like, thanks, Beto.
Yeah.
Mm.
And then, yeah, we see all the people together on Finnegan's ship, on the Celex. And Nyx is saying to Willits, "Sorry about your ship." So now it's Willits' ship again.
Mm.
So interesting.
Yeah. Well, there we go.
Yeah. And Fingren, yeah, has the coin, throws it, and it's tails. And we know from Willards, I guess, you will wish it had been heads.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there we go. And I think Emma is bringing Rayla to the brig already, or something. And Fingren has a special use for Callum.
Creepy.
Yep. That's the saga of the pirates.
Very exciting stuff.
No. Okay, from the blue scenery, we move on to the orange scenery.
True.
To the Sunfire camp.
Mm-hmm.
Sunfire Elf Camp. First, we get told a McDonald's recipe.
It's the egg and sausage guy.
Exactly. And then we have some Avatar-style magic. First stones rolling around, then wind blowing, and then footsteps in the sand.
Hmm.
There's a ghost in the camp.
Also a bit fifth elementy.
Yeah, true, true, true.
Wind blows. So the ghost runs into the camp. But who made the footprints? Janai is missing a Maya.
Mm-hmm.
And Miana comes to report that there is a ghost in the camp, whatever that means. And then Janai says to Miana, can I trust you with something? All I've written in my notes is, oh, biscuits. Not Miana, come on. Anyone else.
But I think, Janai doesn't know,
no.
I think, of Miana and Karen.
No.
And it was also, she did ask Miana, because she knows already it's something dark.
Yeah.
It's maybe Kim Dai.
Mm-hmm.
I think she knows from the stories of her grandma. And I think Miana is not on Karim's side anymore.
Hmm.
Like, okay. Totally.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Okay.
I think.
I was like, red flag, but yeah. Yeah. I mean, no, you're right. They were having a disagreement, weren't they?
Yeah.
At the end of the last
exactly.
chapter.
And now she is part of the Six Horns, you know, takes her job seriously. Also, I think didn't vote against Janai or something.
Hmm.
So I think it's okay.
Okay.
And we see it's okay because she did the job.
Yeah. Yeah, at least we didn't see that she gave it to Karim, you know? Like, we still don't know what happened to the seed.
To the sun seed?
Yeah. Like, we didn't actually see what happened to it in this.
Ah, you know? We see it in the outro.
Yeah, we see it in the outro, true. And we don't know. Yeah, we know she has it, we don't know what she's doing with it.
But, so yeah, so because we saw this episode already and we don't spoil, we know that she didn't go to Karim directly because Karim wouldn't then use Pharos and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
So
yeah,
there's no point.
Unless she has it and just didn't get to him yet.
But isn't she back again in the later scenes and Karim is still going for Janai, something?
I'd have to look at it again.
Yeah.
I didn't see if she was there. Anyway, no, I hope you're right.
Yeah.
Like, I hope that she's just like, oh, Karim. and drops him and does the right thing.
Because, I know it's in the next episode.
Mm-hmm.
In the next episode, Miana is back. When Pharos is standing in front of the Six Horns, Miana is there.
Okay.
And then when they go after Karim, Amaya is in the clothing of Miana.
Yeah.
So.
Ah.
Miana did. So they must
she
have.
She also tricked.
Yeah.
Worked with them, you think?
Yeah. Exactly.
I hope so. I really do.
Yeah. I don't think that they knocked over Miana and stole her clothing.
Yeah. Or they just had some similar clothes.
Yeah, okay, maybe. Yeah, true.
I don't know. Okay. Interesting, though.
Yeah.
I hadn't realized that. I was more worried that, that she trusted her. But
of course. From our point of view, yes. If we would be in Janai's point of view, then we don't know.
Yes.
But, you know, from the TV watching people, it's maybe a red flag, yeah.
Yeah. Then we have to look at the credits, the picture in the credits as well of how she's looking at the sunseed. Like, what kind of expressions he has on her face, maybe. Try and read something between the lines.
Again, maybe.
So that happens. Kim Dale sneaks into the temple. I call it a temple. I don't know what it is, really. It's the entrance to where the Sunseed is, so temple-y place. Elves and humans have her surrounded, and the human leader says fire and then gets got with his own arrow, which is really sad. He's also recognisable. Like, we've seen that particular guard around as well, so it had a bit more emotional impact than, like, random guard, felt like.
And it also was with the help of a tiny drop of blood.
Yeah.
Because otherwise she had not so much power, I guess.
Ah, that's right. She took the blood first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then turned into a ghosty thing.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, uses this power to turn the arrow around.
Yeah. And then we're with other guards who can hear the screams inside the inner sanctum. And then we see red smoky lines coming under the door. And Kim Dale is suddenly behind the guards. It's just a massacre.
Yeah, it's horrible for them because they hear the others falling.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a liquid oozing from out of the door,
mm-hmm.
under the door, knocking, destroying the lantern. So they don't have any light.
Yeah.
And fight against nothing.
Yeah. It's a bit of a horror film moment.
Exactly, yeah. And yeah, I don't know if she kills or just knocks down almost everyone.
I think she kills almost everyone.
Yeah. Except the last person.
In the courtyard.
Yeah.
Yeah, who just...
No. In the room downstairs. And then she picks him up, or them, and drags them to the Sunseed Begony thing.
Yeah, and drank their blood on the way, apparently. Yeah, so she drags the guard into the courtyard, and then Janiyah's there. Who are you? Ask more questions. Did my brother send you? So Janiyah already realizes.
Yeah.
And they fight, and it's not looking good for Janiyah, and she gets knocked into the pond, and then we see the pond boiling and she activates lava mode. She's doing quite well. Seems to be about to kill Kim Dale. But then the soldier says, help me, and says she drank my
blood.
Didn't finish his sentence, I think. Okay. But we know.
Okay.
Janiyah's totally distracted, unfortunately, when Kim Dale attacks again. And does this horrible magics them high up into the air and slams Janiyah into the ground.
And easily destroys her weapon.
Yeah.
That's also crazy.
Mm-hmm. But it's not her usual weapon.
Oh, yeah. No?
She gave her lava sword to Amaya when Amaya went to the library.
Ah, and then Amaya had the sword. Okay, yeah, got it.
Yeah.
And I also wrote down Janiyah is strong even without the powers.
Yeah.
Because they fight for some seconds or longer.
Yeah.
In contrast to the guards.
Totally. Totally. I mean, yeah. Janiyah's an amazing warrior.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, she did well even without the lava mode.
Lava magic.
Yeah, and then Kim Dale goes to take the seed, but it's fake. But
it's replaced by a lantern.
And it's cool, actually, because we've seen, I noticed when I was watching the episode, that style of lantern is repeated in that episode. Like, you see about four or five of them in the lead up to that as well. So it's like you recognize immediately what it is and stuff.
Yeah.
And then Kim Dale smears some blood on Janiyah's face and takes her just as people are coming to give Janiyah some backup.
Yeah.
And then in the next scene, Amaya arrives supporting Corvus as Gren is like kind of picking up the last survivors, and she gives Gren a massive squeeze like she always does, and like picks him up, and then she's told that the queen has been taken.
And this is a bad news for Maya. It's a shock. She drops to her knees, and we hear a elevated blood pressure sound. So that's not the best news.
Yeah.
Coming home from evil Bentas.
Almost, yeah, a near-death experience, and then coming back and finding out that your fiancé has been taken. Oy, oy, oy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, Kazi was there to tend for the survivors.
Yeah, and Kazi was beginning to tell Amaya what happened when Gren took over as
true.
Well.
Yeah, true.
We've got to the end of that chapter. Very, very exciting and dark.
Really dark, yeah. With some funny moments, obviously.
Yeah.
But yeah.
But yeah, it's gotten a lot darker, we keep saying. But like with Finnegan and keeping Callum he has a special use for Callum, you know, is very, yeah.
Everything looks kind of hopeless.
It looks pretty hopeless, yeah.
Janai gone, the crew captured on the deck. We don't know what's with Callum.
It's all bad.
Yeah.
It's all bad, except that Amaya's alive and Corvus, which is good news.
But also, what about the others, Viren and blah, blah, blah?
Yeah, we know nothing about them. Oh, yeah, yeah. Overarching themes?
Mm-hmm.
I've got, our heroes don't have their sea legs, and all of them are in trouble. And the title is Sea Legs, Sea Legs. Boat has legs.
Yeah. Also, the giant hermit crab is called Sea Legs.
That's the hermit crab's name?
Yeah.
Okay.
And also, I looked it up in the Cambridge Dictionary. It's also, if you have sea legs, means a person's ability to keep their balance while walking on a moving ship and to not be ill.
Mm-hmm.
So also, Rayla is afraid of water. And maybe not the best on a moving ship. So maybe she also has sea legs.
Like that she doesn't have her sea legs, you would say.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, true. Ah, yeah.
Totally. Yeah. Now this is another, a thing of doing it with English as your second language, learning these phrases and stuff. Yeah. It's cool. Credits?
Mm-hmm. So, first we have Sneasels with the tiny lightnings.
Then we have Hat, happy and surrounded by hats.
A jelly bug with a lot of jelly tarts.
With or without jelly?
I think with.
Then we have Miana with the sun seed.
So she is cross-eyed, no mask, and her mouth is kind of open.
She looks fascinated, but caring, like, kind of...
Protecting.
Protective, yeah. Okay.
We see sea legs, and in one claw there's a huge sword.
Yeah.
It's super big.
Yeah. It's cool. I like the picture. Then we've got Kim Dale posing with claws out like Wolverine.
Fingernails too long.
And in the show notes, I'll put it. I found this image from, I think it's Wolverine Origins, the cover of the film. It's exactly the same pose. All right, so let's move on to chapter 8, Finnegan's Wake. And we'll start off on the sea legs.
With no one happy, but everyone is singing a song. It's not the nicest song, but there we go. Callum is in Finnegan's office. Nix is nowhere to be found on the ship because she traded something, which we don't know yet.
Yeah.
And is now free as a bird. And Callum could be free again if he tells Finnegan one dark magic spell. And if not, he gets persuaded by Emma with sea anemones. And this reminded me of Finding Nemo, because they also live in sea anemones.
You think it's anemones? I was trying to figure out what they were, and I said I have like sponge jellyfish, but that's pretty much what an anemone is, isn't it?
I think yes.
But with electricity.
Yeah.
It's like a magic.
But in Finding Nemo, it's also with electricity.
Mm. But not such a big.
No. It's fine for these fish.
But it's not such a big charge. I don't think it's in real life. It's so dramatic.
No.
As this, it looked like a defibrillator or something.
True. Okay.
True. But yeah, no, you're right. It's more like an enemy. Yeah. So they're using these things to torture Callum. Again, really dark.
Yep.
And it cuts out again to just the door, and you just hear the noises. But what's going on behind?
We also see the flashes.
Sparky
noises. Yeah.
And then the next scene, we get Callum bruised and scraped, and his eye looks really bad. And Finnegan thought that Callum's spell was dark magic, taking the wind from the sails, and is kind of trying to get out of him if he's done dark magic before. And can see in his eyes that he has. So Callum tells him the one spell which was making chains into snakes to save his friends. And he's read about all the different kinds of magic, including a lot about dark magic. And wants to know if in all of the books he's read, if he knew the spell that killed Avizandum, because he wants to kill Domina Profundus. And we learn that Domina Profundus has banished Finnegan from the deep ocean, and that he's only allowed to be a mile away from the shore, and if she catches him, that she would take everything away from him. And I didn't quite get it, but like, did he take away or kill his ex-ship hermit crab?
Called Shelly.
Shelly? Yeah.
Really cute.
And he said he loved her.
Yeah.
And that it was his ship companion steed for 40 years.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. And it's the sister of Celex, by the way.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And that she killed leviathans and kraken in the deep sea with just her claws.
Yeah.
But it's Domina Profundus's job to protect the deep sea.
No.
But that ain't freedom, is what Finnegan says.
Yeah. I wrote down, Domina Profundus killed her because the influence or destruction or the exploits of them were too big.
Yeah.
But spared Finnegan.
But now he wants to kill her with dark magic, apparently.
Yeah.
Then he drags Callum onto the deck, insults Deadwood again, like he's Finnegan's insulting him all the time. And Soren sticks up for him and says he's doing a great job. I'm very under control, he says.
Really cute.
And Finnegan, I wrote down, presents a Negan choice. You've not seen The Walking Dead, have you? Or not all of
it? No.
So he wants to chop off one of their hands for stealing the baitlings. So I said it's a Negan choice because of the very famous couple of episodes with Negan, who's a big baddie with a baseball bat with barbed wire wrapped around it. Anyway, there's the very specific episode that people, when they've seen it, they know it. He kills two of the people very graphically with the baseball bat. And also tells Rick, like the main character of the show, to chop off his son's arm or to to join them, basically, and give up his, that they give up their home. Yeah, so.
Okay, crazy.
So he's a bit of a Negan. But, yeah, Callum won't choose. And Ez volunteers that he can chop off his hand and confesses that he's the one who stole the Baitlings. And then also all of the others say...
Everyone is chiming in.
Yeah. I'm Spartacus. Yeah. And Callum says, as long as we love each other, you can't control us. Yeah, unfortunately. Also weakness. Yeah, and Finnegan drops an animal part in Callum's hand and says to turn their chains into snakes.
I wrote down it's a caterpillar, but I looked it up in the wiki, it's a snake's rattle.
Ah, okay. That makes sense. Oh. Yeah, Rayla escapes from her chains, but if...
Where did she get this splinter? From Elma?
From Elma. Elma picks her up.
Mm-hmm.
And she gets the splinter while he has her in his grip.
From his body.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Finnegan uses his magic, which we didn't know he had, and freezes Rayla's blood. The magic is called...
Is it Ocean? The Ocean Arcanum?
It is from the Ocean Arcanum, and it's called... Venus Frigoris.
Ah, okay, that you mean, yeah.
Yeah.
It's also similar to bloodbending in Avatar, I guess.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But freezing instead of just
controlling
it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I also said it looks like the Cruciatus curse from Harry Potter as well.
Yeah. Also, yeah.
Because just true. Pain.
Yeah.
And not being able to move.
Or Petricus Totalus, something like that.
Yeah, but the Cruciatus is one of the unforgivable curses.
Yeah, true.
And it's used for torture. And he's basically torturing.
Yeah, true.
Torturing her.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right, that also. And then takes bait to lure the Leviathan and wants to feed Rayla to it. Callum then tells Finnegan about the spell that he wanted, but Finnegan says it's too late, that the deal is off,
it's
the,
off
table.
The table. Yeah.
Cruel.
I think also, going back one scene, I think Finnegan used the magic on everyone already.
Yeah.
Because everyone is actually a prisoner on the deck.
All the crew.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they all look really scared.
That's why also no one is happy and the song was not so lovely.
Yeah, they're just being controlled by him and his
horrible
magic.
Yeah.
So the next scene we have is bait getting lowered into the sea in this cage.
As bait?
As bait. and Rayla's all tied up in ropes hanging upside down and is... being lowered down as the Leviathans are on their way.
And bait is also green, by the way. So really afraid.
Mm-hmm.
And also only used as a smell.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like a... as a smell, bait smell.
Yeah, they dip him in the sea and then pull him back out again.
Yeah, exactly.
And then Rayla gets saved by two spells.
Mm-hmm.
Ferrum Venti and Levare Ventum. And Finnegan tries to freeze Callum's blood. And then we see Callum reciting his ocean poem in his head and like feeling the freezingness and the ocean and everything. And then ends the spell with Terminus ad Glacium. And yeah, he can't be controlled by Finnegan's spell. Ocean Arcanum! Unlock!
Ta-da. It's really cool, yeah. And also the ocean is really calm afterwards, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we learned that Finnegan can't control everything, but controls Ember a little bit, maybe?
Elmer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Without using magic, but just being Finnegan. And then we have Soren, who speaks to Emma and reasons with him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, Finnegan always calls you names and is mean to you. Why are you doing this?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, gets knocked over again and again, stands up again and again. And finally, Emma is puzzled and asking, hey, why are you standing up? Emma listens to Soren and destroys Finnegan.
Yeah.
By saying also, my name is not Deadwood, it's Emma. And drawing it into the conveniently placed Leviathan, who jumps out of the air and captures Finnegan.
Yeah.
Nice.
So the Leviathan finally gets fed.
Tasty snack.
Yum, yum. Yeah, I like what Soren says as well. I know how you feel. He's cruel, but you don't have to be.
True.
I really like really that.
Good.
Oh. And I loved Callum's speech as well about the Ocean Arcanum and how Finnegan like didn't understand the Ocean Arcanum properly, even though he was born with an understanding of it, because he can't control it.
Oh.
And
yeah, he just wants to, you know, also with Domina Profundus, he wants to control everything.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's not a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And also the ocean is too big for one person.
Yeah.
Come on.
Totally. No, it's really cool. And I really like that. And yeah, Callum's speech, all of it.
Yeah.
Really good. And like, he's definitely dead, Finnegan. Like, he's not coming back from that, I would guess.
That's a little bit in the title, so to say something about the title.
Yeah.
Wake is, in German, it's Leichenschmaus.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the eating if someone died, the eating afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, the Leviathan eats Finnegan, so that's the wake for Leviathan.
Yeah, I wanted to go into the title afterwards, but we could do it now.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was... I found that interesting too. In English that's the same. It's not only the eating, but like kind of the celebration of someone after they've died. And I found that interesting as well because of the song. The song is very sad. And I feel like the song is also like a wake for Finnegan already, even though he wasn't dead yet when they were singing it.
Mm. Okay, yeah.
And they also played it for the end credits instead of the normal song.
Mm-hmm.
So it was also very meaningful. And the other meaning of wake is like behind a ship, the waves that it leaves behind is called the wake. Mm. So like the lasting effect of something is also in the wake of what happened, you would say. And I feel like that's also got like a big meaning because of Callum and this dark magic thing. It's also...
Oh.
Yeah.
That's also really interesting, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Very...
It's good to have a native speaking person here.
Yeah, but it's nice, like, yeah, from all perspectives.
Yeah.
It's cool. Nice. Yeah, and I have the lyrics of the song here, but I could read that out later if we have time.
Maybe you can sing it?
no thanks.
Cool, everyone is free again.
Hooray!
Nice.
And we get...
And
yeah.
Nyx is back. And we learned that she traded some information. And actually it was to their profit because... Now they are there where they wanted to be, at the Sea of the Castout.
Yeah.
Because she lured Finnegan there.
With a promise
of a treasure.
Treasure, yeah.
So that's really nice.
Yeah.
Of her. And do we know who the Castout is?
No, we don't know. But there's these big statues there, huh?
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I mean.
Yeah, so no, we don't know.
But it looks elfish, right?
Yeah, it's two elves. Like, yeah, okay. And I thought that the one standing is the one doing the casting out, and the one kneeling down is the one being cast out, probably.
Ah, I thought they were both cast out.
No, I think it's just the one
okay.
cast out, but I don't know.
I see.
That's what I interpreted there. And just before that, we got a nice moment with Elma and Soren, and Soren taking the knife out of Elma's arm.
True.
That Finnegan had stuck in it, just before Elma threw him into the ocean.
Oh.
And that it was like a nice sunset then, like all the light is very romantic and stuff. And Rayla and Stella are having a nice cuddle when they get reunited. And Ez sets the baitlings free from their cage. Yeah. And there's this nice,
coming together.
Coming back together thing.
Sim hopping around.
Yeah.
And bait greeting one of the baitlings.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's everything is happy.
And we see...
Everyone.
And we see Villis is now the captain of this new ship. True. And Villis says, I've never been the captain of a crustacean before, but I'm sure we'll be friends.
Nice. And Bertha agrees.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we see Callum is covering against the mast.
Yeah.
So we don't know what's going on there. Rayla goes to him and... Yeah, begins to hug him, and he hugs back, but he is still sad or looking worried. Although he just got half of an avatar abilities, half of the avatar abilities, the thing. Interesting.
And then it pans down to the
basement,
to the lower decks, and we see the lower decks. Star Trek. And then we see the chain snakes slithering around, and we know what he did.
Yeah.
We know what you did, Callum.
I wrote down Jake or Snane. You know?
Snane.
Half chain, half snake.
Nice, yeah. I like it. Yeah, poor old Callum Aim.
Yeah.
All right, so then Luxoria?
Yeah.
Or did you want to talk about... Yeah.
Yeah, this, you know, everyone rescues someone in this episode. So first we have, I think it was Callum. And I was wondering, hey, how did he get free?
Mm.
Now
question
we know.
Question answered, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we also have Callum to the rescue... Then Soren to the rescue, then Rayla to the rescue.
Yeah, the only person who didn't rescue anyone was Ezrin, probably. lots of rescuing.
Yeah.
Lots of stuff. Positive stuff. Yay.
Yeah.
Although, it's kind of disappointing that Finnegan's gone, because he's a very interesting character. It's a very abrupt ending, but also like... Yeah.
Maybe a little bit of influence from George R. R. Martin.
Just kill them. Just get rid of them.
Game of Thrones-y.
Yeah. I was just thinking about it, I think, because of Avatar The Last Airbender and the Avatar universe in general and stuff. There's very much this, like, there's no black and white. That, you know, there are bad characters and stuff, but... It's nice when you get the long arc and you kind of get to know them better and see where that came from and stuff. And it's a shame we didn't get that with Finnegan. Like, he was just a bad guy. Although you see his softer side with the hermit crabs and stuff.
And the baitlings.
And the baitlings.
Yeah.
It would have been interesting to get to know him better, I think.
But, yeah, so it's not vegan because, he uses the baitlings for bait.
Yeah.
And... The giant hermit crabs as a boat, come on.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, he names them and...
Says he loves them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
in his
it's
own way.
Thing,
but then he tortures people to have him as their crew. And it's horrible.
It's horrible.
He wasn't a nice person.
No, he's horrible to Elma, for example, and the crew.
Mm.
Yeah. But I think we have also other bad people in the story.
Yeah.
Claudia.
Viren. But Viren, you know, he's getting more of an arc and he's getting to a point where it's also like, maybe Viren's gonna be good in the end, you know?
Maybe Viren, so I don't know yet, but maybe Viren will die because the 1 month is already over.
Yeah.
So yeah. We don't know.
We don't
know. Claudia gets Ruin.
Mm-hmm.
Becomes Ruin.
And on the other side now we've got Callum, who's just done dark magic again. Does that mean
True.
That he's going to head down a dark path now as well?
He also looks like a dark mage. Sorry, from the beating up, but yep.
Hopefully that's gonna heal. And he doesn't need butterflies.
Yeah.
Let's move on to Luxoria.
To the Sunfire Elf camp, because Luxoria is also destroyed. So, we see Corvus and the others search the whole camp for this weird ghost. And tells it to Amaya, and Amaya is believing in Janai. She will survive this. She is strong. You don't need to worry about her.
But her face says something different.
Yeah, of course. She cares for her. Mm-hmm. Come on. And we also see that the traitor, Ferris, is back in the camp because he has a message.
Da-dum.
Yeah. He delivers the message to the Six Horns. Now, also with Miana. It's Janai versus the Sunseed for Karim. And it has to be delivered by Miana because Karim and Miana, maybe it's still a thing.
Mm.
At least for Karim. But Amaya denies or declines. And the choice is clear. The queen will die. Yeah. Also really dark. In this camp. Yeah. Not the best place to be. Karim looks happy because we see Amaya. No, we see, Miana.
Amaya.
Exactly. Amaya in the clothing of Miana with Ferris on a horse riding towards Karim. And it gets revealed and Karim and Amaya fight with magic and swords. With Janai's sword.
Mm-hmm.
And then we see Kim Dahl brings out Janai to stop Amaya from killing Karim.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also have a pretty interesting conversation about who actually has the power of releasing Kim Dahl.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not Karim.
Even though Karim had already said to kill Janai, kill her.
Yeah.
No.
better for her not to have it, to have done it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because he has no power at all. And it's in the crown of Luxoria. And we have Maya to rescue.
Hooray!
And she almost kills Karim.
Yeah, she strikes him down and cuts his face.
Yeah. But Faros managed to free himself. And the deal is off because if they kill each other, so Janai gets killed and then also Janai kills Karim. So no point in being here for Kim Dahl.
Yeah, and she said that the binding would tighten and Kim Dahl would die.
If
they all died. Yeah.
Exactly. So she goes away on her own will. And
after kissing Janai on the cheek and saying, may our next meeting be more favorable.
Yeah, true.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
Creepy lady.
The fingernails.
Yeah.
And Ferris can take Karim with him with a special spell called Finales Funkeln. Final Beam. It's a little bit of German instead of Latin here.
Is that the official spell?
Yeah.
Okay. And steals the horse and takes Karim away. It was a bit unfair because they were only distracted because they were back together again. And stuff, but whatever.
But now they're together again, and they will get home at some point.
Yeah, but they don't have a horse, which is a bit shit.
Horse shit. But it's also, it's nice to not have horses to rely on.
Yeah.
So, you know, just use your own feet.
Use your feet, people. But yeah, it just slows them down. But yeah. Yeah, I get it.
No.
I get it. Unless the horse is your friend and does it
voluntarily. Nope. Or Janai could use her lava magic to be a horse or something.
Go, horse mode. All right. I think that was it for the episode.
Right? Yeah, that's
it. Anything else? I had a question or a comment to you, because the last episode you said Nyx was working for Finnegan and was setting them up, you know, by being on the boat. And I just wanted to ask what you thought about that now.
Yeah, I think I, yeah, it was wrong from me to say that. Because then I read about it and it, yeah, it didn't make sense or something. So, yeah. I have it in my notes somewhere, but yeah.
Yeah. No, I just, yeah, I wondered, yeah. Because it was interesting because I took what you said and I was like, yeah, okay, yeah, maybe. Like, I don't know.
Uh-huh.
But it seems now through these two episodes that wasn't the case.
Yeah.
It's just a coincidence that she led him to their
ship. Exactly. Yeah, totally. But maybe also she changed her mind. And first she wanted to be in Finnegan's group, and then, you know, with Raylum around,
decided
to be with them.
Yeah, she changed sides and became a bit.
Yeah, exactly. But also because of maybe being then a Commodore.
Yeah,
you know.
Mm-hmm.
And being free from Finnegan, because also under his wings, or fingers or whatever, puppeteer, something, maybe not the best choice.
Yeah.
And now she has the chance.
To be with a better crowd.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
So still unsure.
No, but yeah, she seems to be coming around to the crew.
No.
And they seem to be coming around to her as well. No. Like, her and Villas are better now as well.
No, totally.
So, should we do the credits?
Yeah.
We have Half Chain, Half Snake, or
Snane. We have Emma with Sneasels sleeping, and Hat as a hat, and Jellybug on his hand.
Mm-hmm. We have a rune, which is the Terminus Ad Glacium rune, the spell that Callum used to end the blood freezing.
No. It's called Anti-Eyes. So the translation.
End
the eyes.
End the eyes. Yeah. Not the eyes. I was like, what about eyes?
Ah, sorry. Yeah. No, it's my pronunciation.
No, it's my English. Problem. It's already my bedtime.
Yeah.
And the ice.
Genau. Amaya and Janai finally together.
Yay! Elma with the... I wrote electric sponge jellies. like boxing gloves. He has this oversized belt, like a boxing prize belt, with a crown on it and a spotlight from above.
In a boxing arena.
In a boxing arena.
And we have the statues at the sea of the cast out.
Yeah.
I wrote down, who is it? We don't know yet.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's it.
All right then. Jellies from both chapters. From chapter one, I have... So, fog. It's like a ground cloud, huh? Just like a river is just a fast lake.
I don't care who is Commodore and who is first what's it. ...
I like that.
Yeah.
There aren't any bugs in here. I would have heard them. Bugs love to gossip.
Where we can outrun him. Outsail him.
Vengeful pirate, certain death, and no jelly. Caw, rough day.
That's it from this.
That's all I have from that one. And from chapter 8, I have, I do not understand. A hand will take weeks to regrow. And sorry, and nobody, it'll take way longer than that.
Hooks are in fashion these days.
That's actually the only jelly I wrote for this one.
Okay. More? I have one more. The Great Sir Splinters, Lord of the Locks.
Yeah.
It's not a jelly tart joke, nice. But it's nice. Yeah, that's it, I guess.
I also have the lyrics to the song.
Mm-hmm. I wrote down the song of the episode's credits is the sea shanty, The Dark-Eyed Sailor,
mm-hmm.
instead of the music, The Power to Change Everything, which mm-hmm. is the normal end credit song. Yeah.
Well, I can read it out and I can just delete it if I decide to not include it in the podcast. The lyrics go, woe to the man, the dark-eyed sailor, ships adrift and the sea's his jailer. Drag him down, 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 down in the wicked depths below. Lost at sea, the sailor cried, I will not drown, and I will not die. The ocean's rule I dare defy, the sea shall bow to me. Woe to the man, the dark-eyed sailor, ships adrift and the sea's his jailer. Drag him down, 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 down in the wicked depths below. The fog pressed in, the ice did freeze, the sails caught nary a whispered breeze. But to his pride, the sailor seized, the sea shall bow to me. Woe the man, the dark-eyed sailor, ships adrift, and the sea's his jailer. Drag him down, 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 down to the depths below. The ship it sank, its hull full tore, the sailor, he could swim no more. But even as he drowned, he swore, the sea shall bow to me. Thank you.
Nice.
It's quite cool, and it's, yeah, it's basically Finnegan, isn't it? The last thing I've got is just an interesting thing. So, have you seen Love on the Spectrum?
No, but I heard it. I heard of it.
It's, a Netflix show about people on the spectrum looking for love.
Which spectrum? Because there are gazillions.
Yeah, the autistic spectrum.
Okay.
And there's one episode where this person called Connor is raving about how good the Dragon Prince is. Loves it. And it says it's like, if... I don't have a good quote for it, but it's something like if... Avatar The Last Airbender and Lord of the Rings and what's it called?
I can look it up because you're sending
it. It's a really good video. Quote anyway. If they had a baby, basically it is the Dragon Prince. It's really cool. So I'd seen that, like my wife shared that with me. Then, the other day, I saw on the Dragon Prince Instagram that they'd sent, that the Dragon Prince had sent Connor a care package with, like, all of the Dragon Prince merchandise.
Really?
And that he was really, really happy about it. And I was happy for him, but I was also a little bit jealous. So, if anyone out there has any Dragon Prince people contacts, we would be very happy to receive and share a care package from the Dragon Prince team.
That would be really lovely.
Yeah,
I have it. I don't suppose you like, no, I don't. Really, well, there's a show on Netflix. It's called The Dragon Prince. It's actually really good. If The Lord of the Rings and Game of Thrones had a baby, while at the same time, How to Train Your Dragon and Avatar The Last Bender, Airbender had a baby, and if by some miracle these two baby meet and had a baby, that show would be there. And the this Dragon baby. Prince. Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Really cool.
Yeah.
So, yes, lots of love for the Dragon Prince from lots of places. And Yeah, if you want to send us a couple of t-shirts, we'd be happy. yeah.
I think there's also some more babies involved. Like,
yeah,
lots of Harry Potter babies and Star Trek and everything else.
Yeah.
So we have a lot of references.
It's basically...
babies.
the love child of lots of lovely things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, cool. Okay. After the crazy chapter 7 sea legs, actually things are quite wrapped up. Some things are wrapped up in quite a nice way from this chapter here. I'm excited for the finale. I can't remember what happens. It's been so long since I watched it, so I am...
And I never watched it, so...
Yeah, I forget that you haven't seen it. Yeah, my mind is empty.
I think Rurin will be in it, I guess. Claudia.
Yeah.
So everyone on the pirate and Sunfire Elf side is good.
Mm-hmm.
But now we have the evil side.
Yeah. Some of it's coming back to me, so I'm not going to spoil or anything.
No.
Yeah. I'm very excited about the finale episode and looking forward to doing the podcast about it. So I guess we'll leave it there. Thanks for listening. It's been another long one. And I hope that we manage to record again soon.
Totally.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Goodbye, everyone. Thanks for listening. We've been News from the Breach. Speak to you again soon.
Have a good one. Bye.
Bye.